Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, we bring you the second of three Play It Again specials. The Play It Again programs we're running during the listener support campaign, where we will replay one show of your choice that we have played during our nearly 4 years of history. And this one actually takes us close to the beginning of the series, all the way back to episode 11. And I'll get to that in a second. Before we do get started, I do want to encourage you to support our listener support campaign, support.greatdetectives.net. I really appreciate the opportunity to bring all of these shows to you. And appreciate the support from listeners and being able to do that. Throughout the year, we'll send access to our premium site with all donations of $7 or more. However, during the listener support campaigns we do twice a year, usually in February and in August, we will send along a special extra thank you gift with all donations of $20 or more. We will send at $20 or more a free copy of a digital copy of All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo. And in addition to that, we will send one additional thank you gift. Some examples of what we have at the $50 level, we'll send you an audio download of our great Jim French Productions modern radio drama, The Hillary Kane Mysteries. They're modern in their recording, but the stories are set in the 1930s. Or if you live in the U.S. or Canada, I will send you an autographed copy of one of my books, Tales of the Dim Night, Fly Another Day, or Powerhouse Hard Press. You can read all the options at support.greatdetectives.net and make your donation there. We can also accept donations by mail if you contact us. Well, Box 13 is one of my favorite shows, and perhaps you can tell by the email address. The theme of Box 13 was that a mystery writer sets out to solve crimes and to tackle various different problems in order to find plots for his mystery novel. And so he puts an ad in the paper saying adventure wanted, we'll do go anywhere, we'll do anything. And then waits for responses at Box 13 at the Star Times. Perhaps I prefer brainstorming for coming up with my plots, but it works, and we just get some wonderful situations and some stories that are perhaps atypical of the detective genre, because he's not a professional detective in terms of getting paid, but not exactly an amateur either. The star is Alan Ladd, famous for movies like This Gun for Hire, as well as Shane. And he not only starred in it, but he actually produced it and got some of the best talent in Hollywood to both write and star in the stories. Well, I've gone on enough. In fact, I've gone on more than enough. So let's go ahead and take a listen to today's episode of Box 13, originally broadcast October 31st, 1947. And the title is Blackmail is Murder.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13.
Copy, boy.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What do you say?
Where's that society case, please?
Hiya, Holliday.
Hiya.
Jerk the first try around that Simmons story.
Hiya, Sam.
How are you? Hiya, Susie.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What's in box 13? You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Well, here I am again, standing at the want ad counter of the Star Times, looking for what? An idea for a story. I could have stayed here as a reporter. I could have been searching for facts. Instead, I'm fumbling for fiction. Instead of a blonde, I'm meeting a deadline. Instead of Chanel number 5, I'm heading for a sniff of printer's ink. Holliday, you're a dope.
Mr. Holliday.
Hi. What's that, Susie?
I said there's a letter in box 13 for you. It's special.
Special?
Special delivery. It was mailed only a couple of hours ago. Something like that could be important.
Could be.
Could be adventure.
Could be.
Could be a girl.
Could be. By the way, Susie, how come you're working so late this evening?
Oh, my boss asked me to keep paying me overtime. Time and three quarters.
Time and three quarters?
Mm-hmm. I held out for double time when he offered me time and a half.
Well, what happened?
Oh, we effected a compromise.
Goodbye, Susie. Special delivery, huh? It used to be very important. Also, it couldn't. Well, come on, open it up, Holliday. You haven't got all night. Having terrible trouble. Please come to room 718 at the Bradford Hotel. Hurry. Signed, Agatha Marsh. That sounds urgent.
Who are you, young man? What do you want?
I'm the man from Box 13. I'm looking for Agatha Marsh.
I'm Agatha Marsh. Come in.
You're Agatha Marsh?
But don't stand there with your mouth open. Never can tell who might be snooping around the hall. Find a chair and sit down. Now, what's your name?
Dan Holliday.
Well, Mr. Holliday, I don't believe in drinking, or I'd offer you one, but I have got some sauerkraut juice in my thermos bottle.
Oh, no, thanks, just the same.
I like you, Mr. Holliday. I like your ad in the paper. Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. It was just what I needed.
Well, thanks again.
Now then. What's your charge?
Charge?
For helping me, your fee.
Oh, that. No charge.
Are you trying to be chivalrous?
No, you see, I'm a writer. I'm looking for ideas. If I get a good idea, I consider I've been well paid.
That seems a little silly.
Might I ask just what your trouble is?
Oh, you don't think a girl my age could get into trouble, do you?
Well, you look like a very charming old... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, lady, let's not beat around the bush. Now, no doubt you want to know a few things about me.
Well, that would be very interesting.
Yes, well, I live in Muncie, Indiana, alone. I've got a big house and an independent income. Every year I go someplace for a vacation, and this year I came here.
Is that all?
Isn't that enough?
But the letter you wrote me, you said you were in terrible trouble.
Well, I am. If anyone ever finds out about this, I don't know what'll happen.
Finds out about what?
Come over here to the closet. I want to show you something.
Well, oh, that's a dead man lying there. Well, this would make a good opening chapter for a story. Young man goes to help charming old lady who is in terrible trouble. Terrible trouble turns out to be a corpse. Corpse? Hey, wake up, Holliday. This is the real thing.
Now do you believe me, young man?
When did you find it?
Just before I wrote you that letter.
before you wrote the letter. Now, that's hours ago.
I know, but what could I do?
What could you do? Miss Marsh, you could call the police.
And get my name in the papers. Have all the folks back in Muncie know there was a dead man in my room. Oh, no.
Miss Marsh, listen to me, please. There's a dead man in that closet. There's a law about dead men. We have to notify the police immediately. You can go to jail for hiding a body.
Fiddlesticks.
But, Miss Marsh, look at this man. He's been shot at close range. There are powder burns on his coat.
I know. I examined him before I wrote you. You see, I read all the current detective stories.
Detective stories? This isn't a story. This is the real thing.
I know. Why don't you try to prove that I did it?
With what? A cap pistol? Now, you're a nice person, Miss Marsh, but this is going to be tough.
But don't get so excited. A girl my age could kill a man if she wanted to. Beam out, as they say in the murder mysteries.
Please, Miss Marsh, be sensible. You've got a murdered man in your closet. Now pick up that phone and call the police right away.
Mr. Halliday, in all seriousness, I can't do it. Think of what my lifelong friends would say.
Yes, yes, I know it doesn't look good.
I can see the headlines now. Prominent Muncie pioneer woman found with dead body in hotel. Oh, please, Mr. Halliday, help me.
Well, I don't know. This is a little out of my department.
Just this one, Mr. Halliday. I've never asked for help before. I'm an old woman.
Well, all right. What do you want me to do?
I want you to help me get rid of the body.
Get rid of the body? Now, look, Miss Marsh, you're not serious. You didn't mean
it. Oh, you don't know me. I fully intend to get rid of that body.
Okay, go right ahead. It's your course.
And you're going to help me.
No, I'm sorry. Try a bell.
And have him snitch to the desk clerk. Besides, you advertised for adventure.
But this isn't adventure. It's a nightmare. Come on, Miss Marsh. Let me notify the police.
Now, there's a broom closet down the hall.
That's very interesting. I just remember, I'm meeting someone in the lobby.
I'd take the body there myself, but I'm not strong enough.
Goodbye, Miss Marsh.
I'll scream.
Go right ahead.
The hotel detective will show up.
Just the man I'd love to see.
And I'll tell him you killed that man.
Oh.
Now, would you help me?
Suppose we get caught.
Then you'll help me.
Now, wait a minute.
You said we. Now, open the door and watch the hole. Face the joint, as they say in the mysteries. And then you whisk the body into the closet. You're strong. You can do it.
Oh, sure. I'm strong, all right. But not in the head. Oh, this can't be happening to you, Halliday. You can't be dragging a body down the hall of the Bradford Hotel. You know better. And as soon as you can get away from this charming but cracked old gal, you're going to talk to the police.
Harry, I'll open the closet door. Stick him in the gut.
I must be crazy.
Now back into my room before anybody sees us. There. Isn't that easy?
Easy, she says.
Well, I must say you carry out your part very well.
What's next in this little scheme of yours, Miss Marsh?
Why, don't you know? We have to find out who killed that Michael O'Brien.
You know who he is?
Well, now I went through his pockets. First things they say in the story.
Well, that cuts it. You stay here. I'm going downstairs. Who's that?
Just be cool. I'll handle everything.
Oh, I can't believe this. It just can't happen.
My name is Crane, Lieutenant Homicide Bureau.
Oh, come in, won't you?
I intend to. Holliday, what are you doing here?
Hello, Lieutenant.
Oh, do you two know each other?
Never mind the social chatter. I thought this was some kind of a gag. Now I'm sure of it. Holliday, just what are you trying to dream up?
If I told you, Crane, you'd never believe me.
Sit down, Lieutenant. Can I get you some sauerkraut juice?
Well, I don't mind if it is. Some what?
Sauerkraut juice.
No, thanks. Now listen, somebody, some crackpot phoned in a tip that there was a dead man in this room.
Why, Lieutenant, how can you say such things?
Lieutenant, now listen.
You'll be quiet. Marsh, mind if I have a look around?
Not at all. Here's the closet. Okay. You can see for yourself, Lieutenant, there's nobody there.
I got your name from the desk clerk, Miss Marsh. Maybe you better tell me about yourself.
I can tell you all about it.
I was talking to Miss Marsh. Are you Miss Marsh?
Right now, I think I'm dead.
We will be if you keep interrupting. Go ahead, Miss Marsh. Tell me about yourself.
Certainly. I live in Muncie, Indiana. I arrived this morning for a 2-week vacation. I'm well known back there, and you can find out everything about me if you care to wire.
Mm-hmm. How did you happen to meet Mr. Holliday here?
Look, Lieutenant, if you'll permit me to tell you...
I'm asking the lady.
I went to school with his mother. That's what I did.
Huh? See. Well, I guess it was the work of some would-be comic. But I had to investigate it just the same.
Well, of course you do.
Oh, but Kling, listen.
Goodbye, Mr. Marsh. So long, Holliday.
But Kling, wait, I want to go with you.
Why don't you two have a fast game of cards?
Probably wasn't that brilliant, just like I did when I see you.
Miss Marsh, you're going to stay in this room until I get Kling back here.
Oh, no. I thought I saw his face myself.
I wonder how Kling found out that... Miss Marsh? I'm not the suspicious type, you understand, but a little bird, a tiny little bird, has intimated that perhaps you might know who tipped off the lieutenant.
Of course I know. It was I.
What in the world are you doing?
I made the call from the corner drugstore a little while ago. I wanted to throw the lieutenant off the trail, like they say.
You know what I say?
No, what?
You're going down to police headquarters and tell the truth.
Oh, quick, let me see. Yes, this is Miss Marsh. How about you, Miss?
I thought so. Yes, it should have had 817 instead of this one. Oh, no, don't bother. I like this one.
What did you mean?
That was the room clerk. He got my reservation mixed up. I was supposed to get 817, and I got 718 instead.
You mean the person who killed Michael O'Brien wanted to get back in here to remove the body? No, that doesn't sound reasonable.
Well, guess who was supposed to get this room?
Never mind, we're going to police headquarters.
It was Tony Basker.
Tony Basker? He's the biggest racketeer in town. He's dynamite. Smash his debt.
I know him. And I love him.
Oh, no.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now back to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
O'clock in the morning, and I can't go to sleep. That little old girl had me worried to death. Wouldn't go to the police headquarters, and when I went down and talked to Kling, he acted as though it were a big joke and sent me on my way. Hello.
This is Agatha Marsh.
Now what? Where are you?
At the hotel. I went up to see Tony Basker.
You what? Miss Marsh, don't you know that's the worst thing you could have done?
I had to talk with you. I put the heat on him, as they say, in murder mysteries.
You're still alive?
I accused him of killing that O'Brien. I came right up with it. But of course, he wouldn't admit a thing.
Would you expect him to do break down and confess?
Well, I think I've got him on the run. But I'm worried.
Well, if I had Tony Basker on the run, I'd be worried, too.
Because when I came back, I discovered someone had searched my room.
Will you call the police? You should have done it a long time ago.
Oh, I want you to come over right away.
At 2 in the morning?
Mr. Holliday, someone's trying my door.
Hang up quick. Call the room clerk.
But Mr. Holliday, I'd...
Hurry, I said. A dear little meddlesome old fool. In your clothes, Holliday, because here we go again. And don't forget your Boy Scout badge. You'll make the Beaver Patrol tonight. Such yet called the desk. I wonder. No, she would have screamed. Someone would have heard her. It's open. Cleaned out completely. No Miss Marsh, no clothes, no nothing. Not even a piece of notepaper. Hey, what's this? Paper airplane. Like the ones I used to make in school. But why should she be making paper airplanes? Airplanes. The airport, that's where they took her.
Keep that motor running. I'll be right back.
Not many people around this hour of the night. Oh, there she is. The man with her has his hand in his pocket, and I don't think it's there because it's cold. What I need now is a little fast talk and a little faster action. Okay, I'll take over from here.
Who are you? What are you talking about?
The old doll. Pascari wants it back.
Pascari told me to put her on a plane. I'm doing it.
Yeah? Changed his mind. He wants it back.
I don't think so. Besides, I never saw you before.
I tell you, if you don't turn her over, Pascari might get sore.
When he called me?
It's only a half hour ago.
He was still at the hotel. He could have called.
He spilled everything over our phone. You nuts?
This don't sound...
Yeah, forget it. Taking the old doll back with me.
Wait a minute. I'm going to call Tony first.
Go ahead, stupid. Get your ears burned off.
Who are you calling stupid? Show me something that'll prove Tony sent you.
Got a match?
Stop stalling. This is a gun in my pocket. Let's talk to Tony.
Yeah, I've got some matches here.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh!
Get him, Mr. Holliday, quick. Whoa, that's so fast. Whoa, I'm not as young as I used to be.
You should have remembered that before you got mixed up in this. Come on, get in. Driver, get out of here fast. What did you do to that guy anyway?
I stuck him with my hatpin.
I might have guessed.
Now, Miss Marsh, what happened at the hotel?
Well, I hung up when I heard him trying the door, but I was too late. The door was unlocked.
So it was Tony Bascari. He wanted you out of town fast.
Oh, but they were very nice to me.
You can thank your lucky stars for that. Usually, Bascari's enemies wind up in some ditch.
I didn't see him again. That man, the one you knocked out at the airport, he was the one who came in my room.
You must have the goods on Bascari. You must have killed this man or had him killed. But why didn't he take him out of the hotel right away?
But there was a convention there last night. The whole place was literally crawling with people.
Oh, that's the reason. All that paper airplane. That was fast thinking this morning.
Well, thank you. Well, now we can go back to Bascari. We've got the group. We can crack the case like they say in the murder mysteries.
Miss Marsh, I've got news for you. We're not going to see Bascari.
We're not? Well, where are we going?
You'll hate me, I know, but it's the police station. Well, Holliday, what happens now? You've taken Miss Marsh to Kling's office. She looks at him. He nods her into his private office. And suddenly she comes out smiling. You try to leave, only Kling stops you.
You stay here, Holliday.
Kling, you can't let her walk the streets alone. Bascari will get her.
Forget it. Got a man tailing her.
Okay, but what happened in that office? What did she tell you?
Plenty, my friend. She preferred charges against you.
She preferred charges against me? Now, what are you talking about?
Kidnapping.
I kidnapped her?
You took her off the plane by force, didn't you?
Listen, Kling, that little old lady is a whodunit happy. She'll get herself killed. There really was a body in the hotel, you know.
Look, Holliday, do you know what you're saying?
Sure I know what I'm saying. There really was a body in that hotel.
Holliday, why didn't you tell me?
I tried to. Twice. Once in the room and the last time when I came in here.
Now think, Holliday. Carefully. Where is the body?
In up room closet down the hall. I put it there.
You put it there?
Yes, I put it there.
Holliday, get out of here.
Well, Holliday, now you're fixed. Even Kling looked at you like those things in your belt. They weren't bats. They're more like eagles. But you're in it now, so you've got to follow through. And that indicates a fast ride over to the Bradford Hotel. Oh, clerk. Hey, clerk.
Yes?
I'd like to find out who occupied Agatha Marsh's room the day before she did.
That question is highly irregular.
Oh? Then here's a $10 bill that's highly regular.
Oh, that is it. She has 718. She checked in day before yesterday.
Yes?
The man who had the room before that was a traveling salesman. In lady suits, I believe.
He's cut quite a figure. in this hotel someplace. The room's empty, but she must be around. But where? What are you worrying about, Holiday? You couldn't wait to get rid of her. Now you can't wait to get her back. You're a character who belongs back in the Middle Ages with a tin union suit for cold nights. Yes, you'd probably show up safely with a detective tailing her. The broom closet. Wonder if the dead man is still in there. It must be. Kling hasn't showed up yet.
Oh, hello, Mr. Holiday.
Sparge, what happened? How'd you get in that closet?
Isn't this thrilling?
No, it isn't.
There was a detective trailing me, but he was knocked unconscious. Sapped, as they say in the murder mystery.
You were brought up here?
By the same man who tried to put me on the plane. He hit the detective, put me in the car, and brought me here.
Well, you two, what are we playing now? Where is the man I put on you, Miss Marsh?
He was hit over the head, Lieutenant, but I'm sure he's all right now.
It's the closet where you said the body was?
Was, it's right, Lieutenant.
Let me take a look. You know what I think, Holiday?
What?
I think both of you crackpots are making this all up. I don't believe there ever was a body.
Kling, you have my word for it.
Your word doesn't mean as much as a Chinese dollar.
Kling, listen. They brought her back here, locked her up. They took the body away, didn't they, Miss Marsh?
Probably going to sink it in cement, as they say in the murder mysteries.
Mascari's in his room. I'll bet you can talk to him.
Surely, put the heat on.
Yes. Once more, I'll play with you, kiddies. Come along.
Where?
Miss Marsh's room. I'm locking you pixies in till I get to the bottom of this.
He's been gone 15 minutes. I wonder what's happening up there.
Not much. I haven't heard any shooting.
No, that's... Haven't heard any... In that case, how could a man be shot here and that shot not be heard?
Well, very easy, Mr. Holiday. The killer would use this.
Miss Marsh, now where'd you get that gun?
Just took it out of the door. It was here all the time.
Well, put it down until Kling returns.
But I just want to show you why the shot wouldn't be heard.
What do you mean?
You excuse me, please. Is that how
you heard it? Yes, what about it?
A smart person would take the gun like this. Wrap the flat top around it, this.
You know, Miss Marsh, you found out a lot since you came here.
Oh, yes, I've done all right since early this morning.
Early this morning? But the clerk said...
I talked to Tony Biscari, and he said...
Kling, look out! Miss Marsh, be the thing.
You shouldn't have moved, Mr. Holiday. I was really shooting at you.
What's this all about, Holiday? What was she doing with that gun in her hand?
She was going to kill me, just like she killed Michael O'Brien.
That little old lady, killing somebody...
Smart, you did kill him, didn't you? And you called me. You got Kling to come up here and catch me dragging the body away. Only he came a little late, as usual.
Now, wait a minute, Holiday.
Then when you couldn't pin it on me, you tried to hang it on Tony Biscari. Now, what did you do with the body?
Dragged it back to the closet in this room.
And I suppose you sat the detective who followed you, too.
But it was easy. I got him to turn around and hit him over the head with my purse.
Why did you kill Michael O'Brien? Did you have something against him?
No, I never saw him before.
Then why kill a perfect stranger?
I saw Flavie. I like those ladies in my face. They killed lots of people. I wanted to also. Only I should have done it like the ladies.
You don't mean arsenic and old lace.
Yes, and I should have worn the lace and given you the arsenic.
Well, Holiday, you're back in your apartment again. The sun is shining through the window, a sun you might never have seen again. You know, I've got an idea for you, Holiday. Give up this business and go into something quiet, like night watchman in a cemetery.
Holiday.
Well, what's that thing?
They examined the old girl down at the psychopathic ward of the city hospital. She's batty as a loon.
You're telling me. I saw that in her eyes when she wrapped the towel around that gun. But, what happened to Vascari and his steward?
When she heard he was in the room above, she tried to pin the body on him.
Oh, so he tried to get her out of town in self-defense.
Mm. Oliver, you're a very lucky, lucky guy.
You can say that again and again.
And again.
Oh, just a minute.
Hello, Mr. Holliday.
Susie, what are you doing up here in my apartment? Why aren't you down at the Star Times?
Well, my boss and I have been talking about another compromise.
Another one?
He wants to fire me, and I want to quit.
Oh, but Susie, if you left the paper, what would I do for my mail?
I was thinking, maybe you'd like to hire a good combination stenographer and secretary, huh?
That's you?
That's me.
Well, I don't know, Susie, but as they say in murder mysteries, I'll have to think it over.
You better think fast. Good help is hard to find.
Goodbye, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music was composed and conducted by Rody Strager. This is a Mayfair production.
Welcome back. Well, just a delightfully played story. Very much the person who wrote to me said they were looking for the story that was in the spirit of arsenic and old lace. And as I listened to it, definitely became clear that this is what he was looking for. So I was glad to do that. And the person who requested that episode for your enjoyment was W. Blaine Dowler. Thanks so much, Blaine, and really do appreciate your request. And this continues just to be one of my absolute favorite series. I love Ladd in this, and I love the way these are written and just beautifully acted. I should note that this episode, I have the correct air date as October for original air date as October 31st of 1947, which is a little bit earlier than I originally had the air date when I first listed it. The big reason for that is that this is a syndicated show, and unlike a network show where a program airs everywhere over the NBC network, it can be kind of hard to trace who was the first person to buy the program and to air it. So we found this episode airing back in 1947. A lot of logs of this, and I shouldn't say we, I should say the Digital Daily FDP, which is where I get my log information. A lot of sites will cite 1949, 1950 for the first airings of Box 13, but it aired, you know, starting in 1947 into 1948. All right, well, that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And join us next Sunday for our final Play It Again, Adam. Remember, please support the listener support campaign, support.greatdetectives.net, and follow us on Facebook at Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.